You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program for the evening of Saturday, January the 18th. I'm James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller now in studio for the last of our 3 hours tonight. Keith Alexander, great contribution as always, and of course, thanks to Peter Scoop Stanton for what he brings to the show each and every week. Eddie Miller now in with us, though. Eddie and Keith and I had a great day out together doing some work for the program on Wednesday, in addition to planning out a few of the things we wanted to talk about this evening. And Eddie had brought to my attention just another example of how completely out of control the federal government is and how ineffective the opposition is when it comes to reeling in rogues like Barack Obama. Eddie, tell us what popped up on your radar this week to that effect.
Well, I'll tell you, James, I was up real early the other morning. And matter of fact, it was Tuesday morning, about 3:30 in the morning, going through emails, going through the news. And I saw something really disturbed me and just made me furious. Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry, put out a word. He said, "Here's in fact, I'll just quote him. He said he doesn't need the Congress. They're dragging their feet to pass the legislation to get his agenda going that he wants to get everything done. He says, here's what he said. I have a pen and I have a telephone. I don't need the Congress. So what he's done, he's dictating law. So dictate or. The guy has become a de facto dictator. And, you know, like me and James were talking during the break, he hasn't had one shred of opposition from either the Democrats or the Republicans. These lying, hard Republicans who hate the Democrats so bad and are supposed to be standing up for our constitutional rights and the rule of law. They haven't put up not any resistance whatsoever. And like James and I were talking about, they really are just, they're paper tigers. They're put up there to be beaten. I'll give you an example of what happened to me several years ago of what I think about Republicans and the Tea Party people. I got in with the Tea Party, the Campaign for Liberty. A good friend of mine, you've heard me talk about Lee Cochran frequently. He's a real soldier. Well, we were out at the Tea Party meeting in a place here in Memphis called Overton Park. And it was a huge crowd out there. And, we're having a good time. And I noticed right off the bat, there was only about maybe four or five blacks amongst them, probably about 2,500 people out there, four or five blacks. The four or five blacks they had were alternatingly getting up on the stage, screaming out, slogans and things like that, and what we're going to do when we get control of the Congress. And all of a sudden, this guy, his name is Mike Skoda, gets up on the stage and he says, we're all, he's supposed to be one of the big leaders here in the Tea Party. We're all united here. We're all just one big family. We don't have any birthers here. We don't have any 9/11 truthers here. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, this guy's mistaken. I'm a birther and I'm a 9/11 truther. And I know we have a lot of other ones out here because I've been talking to some of them. So I'll go up near the stage and you have to go into. Yeah, it's supposed to be open mic. I went up near the stage, and you go into a tent, and you tell them what you want to talk about. And I told this guy, I said, well, I just want to, I want to be respectful about it, but I respectfully disagree with what you said. We have a lot of people out here that know that the president is illegitimate, and, he's an illegal alien. And we also know anybody that's in my group that's is aware of all what happened in the 9/11 in New York, we know that was an inside job. And so we do have 9/11 truthers out here, and we have, birthers out here. Well, he wouldn't let me talk. He said, no, we can't get up there and say that. And I said, well, what for? So what happened was it degenerated. The nice, gentlemanly conversation degenerated. He asked me to get out of his blankety-blank tent, And so I said, I tell you what, Hoss, I want you to put me out of this blankety blank tent. And so it got really hot. But I realized, you know, the moral of the story is the Tea Party here in Memphis that day was a controlled opposition sham. It was to get the good people in Memphis, the people that really want to make change, to go back to the Constitution of rule of law. Law and order is based on common law handed down from the Bible. That's those people that are there, but they were being used and controlled and guided down a path of non-resistance. So, and that's pretty much what we see in the Congress right now. And, you know, James, if we're going to change this country, it's going to be we the people. People, you might as well give up on Washington, D.C., and you might as well pretty much give up on the state legislatures of your individual state. We're going to have to start township by township, city by city, mainly county by county with the county sheriffs. But I don't know how effective that's going to be because, I'll cover something about martial law later. We don't have time to talk about that right now. But I'm going to turn it back over to James right now and get James Edwards' take on this, how I think it's so worth the Tea Party as it is. They started out great. They really did. There was super potential there. But as what always happens, they got taken over and infiltrated. James, what do you think about that, son?
Well, the Tea Party is certainly pretty much dead now. I mean, you don't hear about it hardly at all, and there's no activity within the local groups of what was once called the Tea Party here. But getting back to the original premise of this segment, Eddie, you were talking about how Barack Obama had said this week that he doesn't need the Congress. He has a pen. He's the president. He can make this law if he wants to. And first of all, my first reaction was, well, why should the Congress be upset with that? They've been allowing judges to do it for 70 years. And as a matter of fact, if it comes down to it, I would rather the president be a dictator because he would just be a single dictator there. At least we could replace him. Right? What we have now is just, you know, dozens of dictators, and they're all wearing black robes, and they all share the same brain, and they're all working against God and country. So it doesn't surprise me that the GOP, though, didn't oppose Obama doing that, because they are the Washington generals. They exist to lose. The Republican opposition to Obama and the radical Marxist left is a false opposition, as is the establishment conservative media, certainly not this network and this show and a very rare few others, but Fox News, the Weekly Standard, the National Review, this is supposed to be conservative media. They're all on the same team here. Now, you had a chance here. You had a real grassroots uprising there for a minute with the Tea Party. That was something that was not scripted. That was not controlled. But then all of this rebellion allowed itself to be taken over by people like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck. Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck basically appointed themselves the leaders of the Tea Party. And then you had this huge rally in Washington that was put on by Beck, and Palin was there as well. It basically just turned into a worship session for Martin Luther King. And then they directed all of this anger and discontent, and they just had them vote for Republican candidates. I mean, haven't we tried that before? And that's basically what the Tea Party ended up being. It ended up being co-opted by the establishment opposition to the Marxist left, which basically exists to ratify anything that the Marxist left wants to do. It'll just spin its wheel for a few years before relenting. And this is how they directed the Tea Parties. Just vote for not the establishment Republican, but this other Republican. People like Scott Brown. Yeah, yeah. That's the guy that's going to get the job done for you. And so the Tea Party's dead, and here we are again, leading the opposition ourselves here on the airwaves. We'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to givemelibertyfund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0 degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, taking you down the home stretch here for the live broadcast this evening, the 18th. Don't forget, saying one more time, and again, we apologize for being so late in getting these gift packages out to those of you who contributed in December, but they will all be mailed out tomorrow, and you will have them before the next show. And let us know what you think. Again, we went ahead, and for the first time ever, even if you donated a dollar in December, you're going to get something from us. And, of course, those who contributed at the 100 or more levels will get those incentives that they were promised. But everybody will get something, and we love y'all folks, and we're excited to have been able to send this out. And we hope you'll like what we sent to you. All right, Eddie, you got something here from the one and only R.L. Dabney. So let's tell us, why don't you tell us what you brought into the studio with you tonight in your bag full of fun?
Well, I got something here from Michael Perucca's IOTC, the Institute of the Constitution, which I follow his website and I get his newsletter. I'll start off, print has been cut off, but I have enough here, you'll get the gist, folks. This comes from the Institute of the Constitution's website with Michael Perucca. Here's where he starts. He's talking about how the Republicans capitulated not long ago with the government shutdowns. It's older news, but it's still news. All right, here it goes. The capitulation of the leadership of the Republican Party in the showdown over what was sold as a government shutdown should not surprise anyone. What is surprising is that in the light of the track record of the Conservative Party, so many people would expect any other result. Isn't this the Conservative Party that always folds its cards when the liberals, progressives, socialists go all in? In fact, what has this party ever conserved other than the liberal victories of its supposed adversaries? And is this anything new? In fact, is there anything new under the sun? It might be instructive to examine what Robert Louis Dabney wrote about these folks way back in 1897. When these folks he's talking about are conservatives. All right, here's what Robert Louis Dabney had to say, and some of it's cut off, but you'll get the main gist of the story. This is a party which never conserves anything. Its history has been that it demurs to each aggression of the Progressive Party. It aims to save its credit by a respectable amount of growling, but always acquiesces at the last in the innovation. What was the resisted novelty of yesterday is today one of the accepted principles of conservatism. Boy, I can say amen to that. It is now conservative only that it's affecting to resist the next innovation. All right. Which will tomorrow be forced upon its timidity and will be succeeded by some third revolution to be denounced and then adopted in its turn. American conservatism is merely the shadow that follows radicalism as it moves forward towards perdition. It remains behind, but it never retards it. It always advances near the leader. All right, some of it's been has been cut off, but it says it all pretty much right there. It's like James said in a nutshell. The Washington Generals, they exist to lose, and that's what they're for. You know what? I've talked to people at church about this, James. It amazes me. I have people at church that I know are smarter than me, and my Sunday school teacher will always say that he tells his grandson that we have to vote Republican because we have to vote for the lesser of the two evils. But, I mean, they aren't the lesser of the two evils. In fact, I think they are the greatest of the two evils, because at least the progressives and the Democrats and the Marxists, at least they tell what they want to do. They admit that they're Marxists, and they admit that they want to completely turn the country into a Marxist socialist dictatorship, whereas these Republicans prey on the more naive, and I hesitate to say ignorant, people, because I know a lot of people that do, they still follow Republicans, and they think that they're going to save us. But, yeah, the Republican Party, they're pretty much the party of the lay down and to take it in, just to control opposition. And we've talked about why that is. The entire Washington establishment and a lot of the state establishments right now, too, and all the way down to the sheriff's departments, and the police departments, they get a tremendous amount of their funding from the federal bureaucracy. And a lot of this money comes from the globalists, the international bankers. The international banking establishment, what Eisenhower would have called the military-industrial establishment, they control everything. They have the money. Where do they get the money? They print it. Have you ever heard of the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank, the Bank of England, all the central banks of the world, these people, they own the banks. They print the friggin' money, and they can just print as much as they need. They control the money. And here's something else too, James. These people that run the show, the globalists, the movers and shakers, they have the goods on these politicians. They know where the bones are, where the bodies are buried. They can blackmail them. They know it used to be bad in Washington to be a homosexual, but I guess they can't blackmail them anymore for being a homosexual, because that's pretty much the standard we should all shoot for, to be a homosexual pedophile. They have all kinds of goods on them. They know who's beating their wives. They know who's having sex with the other guy's wife. They know who's a pedophile, who's homosexual. They know all the stuff who's on drugs, and they can blackmail these folks. That's how they keep control of them. And I know I've talked about this book many times before, called The Franklin Cover-Up. But Congressman John DeCamp talked about this all the time. So did Inspector Jim Rothstein. What they do, these big bankers and globalists and insiders in Washington will set up. Here's one way they do it. They'll have a big party for these political elites. Then after most of the people leave the party, you'll have the few political elites left over. And they will fix them up with their pleasure, whether it be coke, heroin, where they like girls, where they like little boys. They'll fix them up, and people don't think I'm lying. You can do the research yourself. That happens. The Franklin cover-up is just one source of this. You can go in. You can type in, Reagan, Bush, cowboy cover-up in the White House. It's easy to pull up. But that's how they get control of them. They have them. They take these people in rooms. They, tape them. Visual tape, and having sex, and that's how they control them. But nothing's ever going to change in Washington, D.C., folks. If there's any change going to happen, it's going to be from we the people.
Eddie, I was so impressed with the quote there in that passage from Dabney. I'd like to try to read it again very quickly. I'm even going to post it on the website in the next few days. It's perfectly applicable to what we see here from the Republican Party and the conservative opposition. And this is what Dabney had to say, folks. Eddie read it once. I'll read it a second time. This is a party which never conserves anything. Its history has been that it demurs to each aggression of the Progressive Party and aims to save its credit by a respectable amount of growling, but always acquiesces at the last in the innovation. What was the resisted novelty of yesterday is today one of the accepted principles of conservatism. It is now conservative only in affecting to resist the next innovation, which will tomorrow be forced upon its timidity and will be succeeded by some third revolution to be denounced and then adopted in its turn. Folks, that is the Republican Party of my lifetime, and I know I'm only 33 years old, born in 1980. I'll be 34 years this summer. I have picked up on that just in the short amount of time that I've been of voting age and had the presence of mind of adulthood to follow politics. Folks, that's been going on, obviously, since the 50s and well before that. Dabney wrote that in 1897. That is exactly what the conservative opposition establishment exists to do. But again, what we're building here is real and it's sincere. We've passed up on opportunities to have financial gain. I remember one of the first few weeks we were on the air in Memphis, we had an opportunity to join, what was it, GCN? Was it Genesis with Chuck and Larry Bates? And they said, we just got to stop talking about everything we talk about. And they'll make us, they'll take us places because we had talent. We just got to be channeled in the right direction. Well, of course, that direction was to be a rubber stamp for the establishment. We didn't do it. We're here and we're bigger than ever. Thanks to you folks. We'll be back. I got to tell you something pretty interesting when we come, when we return.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, if you want to listen to an hour of what I thought was exceptionally good radio, first of all, that would be any hour of the Liberty Roundtable show hosted by Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com is the website. But on Wednesday, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was Sam's guest. I typically make an appearance as a guest on Sam's show, the Liberty Roundtable, every third Wednesday of the month. And this particular time, there was a story that I just felt as though was right up Eddie Miller's wheelhouse. And so Eddie was on in my stead for the bulk of the hour. I made a short appearance for a couple of minutes, but it was mainly Eddie and Sam and Sam's co-host, Kurt Crosby. It was on Wednesday, folks, of last week. So go and check that out at Sam's Archives at LibertyRoundtable.com. Eddie, why don't you break down exactly what the interview was all about and what was the main focus of that hour, and I'm going to tell people why I wanted to bring it to their attention tonight here on the Political Cesspool.
Well, would you like me to start with, we started the, me and Sam and Kurt, we started talking about, you know, the legalization of marijuana in the state of Tennessee, or you want to go ahead and skip to... Okay, we'll go down to, we talked about people, there's, and by the way, I learned a lot about real radio with Sam and Kurt that day. I mean, these guys are really professionals. But anyway, there's this man, he's a homeless man. His name is Kelly Thomas, I believe, in what Fullerton, California, I believe it was. It's a famous story. I didn't keep up on it like something like my grandson did. But like I said, he was a homeless person. He was billed by the news media as some kind of a wild, you know, mental patient, violent, but here's what happened. Me and Sam and Kirk covered it. The police, they got out. They detained him. They questioned him. They went through his backpack without a court order. They searched him. And listen, a friend of the cesspool and a friend of Sam's, Liberty Roundtable, sent me the YouTube of that. I'll just say his name is Charles. He might not want me to give his full name. But I looked at it, and it's just like Charles said. We have the homeless guy. Kelly Thomas, white, I'd say he's probably, what, 40, 35, right around there. He was, all right, well, the police got out, two police, a Hispanic policeman, and I think the other guy might have been white. But the Hispanic guy was really, I saw the YouTube myself. He was aggressive. He used unnecessary force. They were asking the fellow for identification papers. They were, you know, questioning him, what was he doing, where was he going. All kinds of unnecessary questions. And I saw this on the YouTube, people. The Hispanic policeman, I'll just say Mexican, looked like Mexican to me, like a fat Mexican. He made Kelly sit down. Then he said, lean back. So Kelly leaned back. And he said, okay, now sit back up. He sat up. The cop says, lean back again. Sit up. Lean back, sit up, lean back. Then he'd say, put your legs out. So he put his legs out. Now put your elbows on your knees. He kept harassing him and harassing him and harassing him. Any human would have taken enough of that. So finally, Kelly, the victim, said, "I've had enough of this." And then they got into a scuffle. Kelly stood up, and the policeman, the Hispanic guy, the Mexican, got into a scuffle with Kelly, and they went out of the camera sight. But here's what happened. They had six, and Sam covered this. Sam pointed to the fact they had six big armed cops around this one homeless person. And here's what happened, people. They beat the living hell out of that man for nothing. I saw the YouTube. You can go in and pull it up yourself. The man did absolutely nothing. He never offered one bit of resistance. He never cursed the police. He was never belligerent. Nothing. I have no clue why they beat that crap. Beat the crap out of that guy, except unless it's some type of a beta test just to see how much the public would put up with. But listen, people, They killed him. They beat him to death. Then when the ambulance came, they took him to the hospital. He was in a coma, not expected to survive, and he didn't. He was taken to another medical facility where he died. I think what 3 days later, 5 days later. But here's what it is in a nutshell. The police got out, and they didn't just kill a man. They beat him to death. I mean, they tortured that man. The only thing they could have done been worse would have been burned him alive, and they got by with it scot-free. They went to court. They had this crappy judge that just went ahead and acquiesced to the police department and let the police department get by with murder. The point that Sam made on the show was, if you expect to get any justice from the police or if you expect to get any justice from the courts, you are in a dream world, folks. You're going to have to protect yourself. And you'll have to go through, I don't know if there's a political solution or not. What do you think about that, James?
Well, you know, everyone should practice their Second Amendment rights to carry. And if you have, in these situations, rogue police officers, I mean, you have to protect yourself if they are, in fact, out of line. Let a court decide if it has to be. But better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6, as they always say. But what you have here, and we talked about this on the show as well, is this is what is going on here in America. Back in your time, Eddie, when you were growing up, police officers were revered for good reason. The best and the brightest made it to positions of law enforcement. Not necessarily to positions of government. That's been corrupt for a long time and criminally corrupt at that. But, and it's not certainly to say that all police officers are rogue or bad, but you see a lot more of this now than you ever did before. And you certainly see it in the military now. They are recruiting the lowest common denominator to go into the armed forces. They are having more and more of these low-caliber officers going into police departments across the country. They want these low-caliber people because they are more likely to follow orders than anyone else. And so if the time comes where you do get into a situation where they are asked to do illegal and unconstitutional things, why would they object? That's the kind of people they are. This guy, this white guy, Kelly Thomas, you saw, you could see it for yourself on YouTube. There was a surveillance camera out there, and it got it all. It's on YouTube, as Eddie mentioned. They beat this guy to death. Now, if this guy was fighting with the cops, they would have shot him. They wouldn't have beat him to death. They would have just shot him. But it wouldn't have been a 6-on-1 with this guy handcuffed, beating him to death. They would have just shot him. That would have been the right procedure, the right protocol. That's not what happened. They beat this guy to death. There's no video of him fighting back or initiating anything. I mean, yes, as Eddie mentioned, he got tired of being asked to do a lot of unnecessary motions while being handcuffed. But number one, whether it was intended to be or not, it serves as a great test of the American people. They apparently have no problem. They're just too concerned with who's going to win the football game on Sunday to take the issue of this, and why it's current news. This happened a couple of years ago. The ruling was just handed down last week where these officers were all acquitted, all found not guilty across the board, and now they're back to do whatever. They beat this guy to death. Again, it's not an indictment against all police officers. Certainly there are still good police officers, but there are more people like this than there ever should be. And it's a great test of what the government can get away with. Again, whether it was intended to be that or if it was just low rank human trash doing what human trash does, I don't know. But it will serve as a good test case. And as was also pointed out on that show on Wednesday, compare and contrast this to what happened with Rodney King. You know, Rodney King was beaten, perhaps somewhat excessively, but look at what he did. All right, this guy did nothing and he was beaten to death. Rodney King was turned into a martyr and a hero, and became a celebrity. Riots were performed in his honor. This guy, this homeless white guy, nobody cared about him. They said he was mentally ill. Who knows if that's for sure? I mean, they would say we're mentally ill, Eddie. I mean, you know that. We're Christians. We're heterosexual. We revere our ancestors. I mean, that's a mental illness as far as they're concerned. It replaced homosexuality and all that stuff a long time ago. But you know, this is an interesting story, folks. If you haven't heard about it, we spent an hour on it on Sam's show, the third hour Wednesday. I would encourage you to check out that particular hour where we really get into it. with all of the facts and figures and details. We're not going to spend a single segment on it tonight. It was hour number two. Yes, so Sam's a two-hour show every day. We're a three-hour show weekly, yes, but it was the second hour of Wednesday's show. But this is a very troubling case. I mean, you see that the people will not react to it. This was a murder. People don't react to it. People don't react when federal judges strike down their will that was implemented by legal and lawful constitutional referendums at the ballot box. People don't care. People don't care about anything anymore, and that's why the government will get away with everything that they want, or it looks at least why it looks as though they will. And when you take into account how radical the change has been since the 50s and what America looks like now compared to what it did in the 50s, on one hand you say, my God, look at how far we've fallen, and on the other hand you think, have we not fallen further? There is absolutely no one to pump the air brakes when it comes to what our federal government tries to do. The government won't do it. People won't do it. What's stopping them from doing anything and everything they want to do? Why won't they just go for it? I don't have an answer to that. I know that there is a resistance growing and we're leading it here, but are we in a position to stop the government? No, not yet.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-9800. 6397.
All right, everybody. Now, let me clarify here. As I was saying in that last segment, I ask myself sometimes why they just haven't gone for broke, because there has been no opposition for so many years. I do see here, and I have seen, In the last few years, as a result of the growth of this show, a resistance is beginning to build, and it had a chance to vent itself a couple of years ago with the Tea Party, and it allowed itself to be taken over, and it fizzled, as has happened so many times in the past. I do believe that we are beginning to build something, not just us here in the political cesspool, but the entire patriot, constitutional-type community. All is not lost. I don't think we're ever going to take back Washington, and Sam Bushman and I were talking about this during the break, but don't write off decent Americans yet, but as we see stories like this, you just wonder how far they could take it and how quickly do they want to go. Eddie, I know you want to make a couple of final points in summation, then we're going to give folks a preview of some things to come here on this radio show and something that will be happening later this year that we want everyone to participate in.
I'd just like to make three quick points. I'd like to tell people to watch that YouTube again. If you do, the YouTube concerning Kelly Thomas we just talked about, that cop, that Mexican cop from the very get-go was itching. He was itching to beat the living hell out of this homeless guy. He was not going to leave that place where the homeless guy was. He was not going to leave that homeless guy without beating the hell out of him. And that's exactly what he did. All right, secondly, the homeless guy, and it's coming from a registered nurse. I watched the YouTube effect, you know, and you don't even have to be an RN or an MD. Kelly Thomas showed as much wherewithal, as much intelligence, as much self-control as any normal human would. He didn't. If he was mentally off, you couldn't tell it by looking at him. But even if he was mentally ill, does that give the cop the right to beat you to death? My third point I would like to make is this, and we talked about this. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and another point is, people that are mentally ill, I'll say, and as a rule, and I've seen this, they are usually more gentle, especially, and you know, if you see Down syndrome kids, they're the most precious kids you've ever seen. I've never seen a mean Down syndrome kid. They're as sweet as they can be. They're really, really good kids and good adults. The third point I like to make, we talked about this on the show with Sam the other day and Kurt, this isn't just an isolated incident. You can go into the news just about any day, any week, and you'll see where some citizen has been beaten nearly to death or killed by the police, and the police get by with it scot-free. It's happening everywhere. The police are the watchdogs are turning or eating, you know, the sheepdogs are eating the sheep. The watchdogs are turning on the owners. And I didn't say anything about this to James coming in, but in the pretty near future, with a series we're going to be starting here, I would also like to do a series going with, especially I want to get Sam in those, if Sam can come in on this in the future, talking about the massive troop builds up in this country here, so especially with foreign troops coming in. Watch the YouTube video. When we get time, I want to talk to Sam about that in the near future, about just hundreds and hundreds of tanks. The person sent me this YouTube. As far as the eye can see, you saw tanks, and I'm talking about heavy tanks, unmarked. I'm talking about joint military operations with, the Russians and troops from other countries, not North Korea, probably South Korea, but multiple countries and, combined with American military having joint military exercises, Camp Pendleton, California. That's going on in other places. It's going on in Houston, Texas, where you have the military coming in, running operations totally unannounced, stopping traffic. And you know how big Houston is? Houston, Texas, is one of the largest cities in the United States. And they're coming in totally unannounced, shutting down traffic, having fake shootouts, scaring the living hell out of people with the military there and the police. There's only one reason that can happen, and that they're doing that, and that's to get the populace accustomed to the posse commentators. And I want me and Sam to talk about that in the future. I want me and Sam and James and Kurt to do a special on that for maybe a series.
And we saw another example of the people's willingness to just do whatever the government tells them, even if it's a violation of their rights. And that we saw that in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings. You know, I mean, talk about that very quickly, Eddie, and continue with your preview of this series that you'd like to present during a couple of segments of the third hour for a few weeks forthcoming. And I'm going to tell people a little bit more about what I'm going to be talking about next week and something we have coming up a few months from now.
Yeah, James was talking about the false flag attack at the Boston Marathon. But I don't remember when that what month that was. But I'm a big runner. I should know that. I'm embarrassed that I don't. But that was a horrible thing. But what happened was, and they covered this on someone, Joyce Riley, and I think on I'm sure Alex Jones. What they had there was they had some Army special ops, maybe SEALs, you know, Army Rangers that were told here's how they do. The people in charge will get these military gung-ho guys, these young guys, they're young and dumb, and they'll tell them, we're going to run a military exercise at the Boston Marathon. We're going to pretend like there's terrorists around there, and you're going to be in on just a drill.
Just tell them about the when they locked down the street.
What happened was, it wasn't a drill, and the guys that participated in that all of a sudden find out they're patsies. Well, here's what happened when the bomb set off. The entire city there was locked down. I mean, thousands of people were totally locked down. They couldn't go to the store. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't do anything. Listen, they had the military and police. They had military with armored personnel carriers on the streets there in Boston and the surrounding, you know, surrounding areas of Boston, going into people's houses, citizens' houses, house-to-house searches, no warrants, no probable cause, nothing. And the people put up with it. They did. That was another beta test that we're talking about. Like, you know, that's a bigger beta test, I guess, than the Kelly Thomas. It's at least as big. And what the people did, they did nothing. They acquiesced. They just were just like little sheep. It's like their attitude was, I guess, well, if it'll keep me safe, I'll put up with anything. I mean, people that came into the military coming into your house and searching your house with guns drawn. Well, you know, with no probable cause. I mean, I'm surprised that more citizens haven't been accidentally killed by the police when they're coming in like that. I'm telling you what, if you come into the wrong house and the people don't know you're coming, this, you know, they'll know that the goons are coming in there, they'll open fire, there's going to be some bloodshed. But that's, you know, early, just a few minutes ago, James was saying he's wondering why they don't go for broke, why the government doesn't go for broke and just lock down the whole country and just go ahead and go to, you know, a total dictatorship. Well, I think we're pretty close to it, and I've wondered the same thing myself. During the break, me and James and Sam were talking about that, and Sam is—he's a little bit more optimistic than James, I think, and I'm kind of optimistic too. That's all we have. We have to be optimistic, but we have to be prepared. We can't just sit on our cans and hope. We have to do something to prepare for this stuff. And I'm going to get James's take on that right now.
Well, I'm optimistic and pessimistic, depending on what we're talking about. I mean, at the very top of the show in the first hour, I was so optimistic about the growth that this show continues to experience and from all of the different places where we know that we have listeners. And so certainly, you know, people who think like us, people who feel like us are out there and we're welcoming more and more of them every week to this show. And so that's a great thing. That is certainly something that we can invest hope in. But could the political cesspool affect change in America as we know it? I mean, can we overturn unconstitutional Supreme Court rulings? Can we, you know, by the strength of our own audience, elect the next president? I mean, no, we're not that strong yet. I mean, we're stronger than any pro-white show has ever been. Certainly, for one reason, we've never had any competition. But I mean, you know what I'm talking about, folks. The fact that we continue to grow is certainly something that everybody should be excited about. But that being said, is our audience strong enough to stop the American military if they wanted to do what they want to do? I mean, not quite yet. But no, seriously. So, I mean, for some reasons, I'm very excited and think that tomorrow is going to be a brighter day than it was yesterday, and for good reason. And for others, I do wonder why. But listen, I hope that they continue to feel as though that they can't push for too much too soon, and that it will give the opposition or the resistance, the true opposition, a chance to grow. And we'll continue to foster it to the best extents that we can. But that being said, folks, I want to remind you again that finally, next week, I will be telling you about my experiences as I taped this television show back in late September, early October. It debuts on January the 22nd. That'll be Wednesday. It's going to be a six-week series. I do not know what episode I will appear in. However, the last I heard, my part could grow from an appearance in a single episode to being a recurring visitor throughout the entire series. I don't know. Of course, if I made too much sense, I guess there's no guarantee that they'll put me in there at all. But the last I heard, I would be in there for at least, I would be prominently featured in at least one episode. That's what I was told on the upfront. There was some murmuring towards the end of it all that they might just take my segments and splice them in and have me be a recurring character or recurring individual in each of the episodes. But after the first week, which will be this coming Wednesday, the 22nd, I'll be able to tell you everything about what network it's going to be on, what channel on television, the name of the show, and certainly share with you my part in it. And so the gag will be lifted on the 22nd, and I'm going to tell you all about that next week. Well, I promised you I'd tell you about something coming up later this year. We'll have to save that for next week as well, but we hope you've enjoyed the show half as much as we enjoyed you having the opportunity to bring it to you tonight. Stay tuned for big news next week, folks. We love you. For Eddie and Keith and Sam and the rest of the gang, I'm James Edwards. God bless you. We'll talk to you then. Happy birthday, Robert E. Lee, tomorrow, folks. Celebrate it.